One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Epitaph for Lydia. Yes, we have that Crime Club story for you. Come right over. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable? The book is on this shelf. Here it is. Epitaph for Lydia by Virginia Roth. The exciting story of a missing person who was found by death. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. It is late evening in San Francisco. And in the spacious living room of an impressive house on Lombard Street, a party is in full swing. A tall, keen-eyed man, bored by the noisy music and the chattering people, retreats to the comparative quiet of an adjoining room. Attracted by several modernistic paintings on the wall, he steps over to one for a closer look.
Do you like it?
Huh?
You're Michael Dundas, the detective, aren't you?
Well, I'm really an architect, but
You were pointed out to me when you came in.
Oh?
I'm Lydia Courtney. You don't know me.
Well, no, but...
Do you like modernistic art?
If it's art, yes. Well, for most of the moderns look like exercises in children's finger painting. This one, for instance...
Rooftops at sunset.
Yes, at least that's what the artist calls it. To me, it looks like a hangover at sunrise. Now, there's one over here.
Uh-huh.
There's possibilities. Ah, here it is. Just a simple study of some sand dunes. Why, what's the matter, Miss Courtney?
Oh, I'm afraid I don't feel very well.
Can I get you anything?
No. No, I'll be all right. It's just that... That's a horrible picture.
Miss Courtney, I think you'd better sit down. Right over here on the sofa.
No. No, I'll be all right. Really, I'm feeling much better now.
Fine. Miss Courtney.
Margie.
Miss Courtney. I knew she'd faint. Lucky I grabbed her before she fell. Now, onto the sofa. There we are.
Lydia! Lydia, aren't you going to... Oh... What happened?
She fainted.
The sand dunes. Many a one for him shall moan, but none shall know. I've forgotten.
That's odd.
What?
She should quote from that old ballad.
She was just delirious. She didn't know what she was saying.
And I guess Margie doesn't mean anything either.
Margie?
Yes. By the way, I think I knew you from someplace, don't I?
Yes, I run a bookstore, Mr. Dundas. I think you've been in it a few times.
Oh, that's right. I bought some books and had them sent. Your name is Bond, isn't it?
Yes, Sally Bond.
Uh-huh. Tell me, how'd you burn your wrist?
Oh, well, there I... some grease splattered on me.
I see.
Oh, Sally.
Yes, Lydia.
I didn't say anything, did I?
No, dear. Now, you just lie still. That's right.
Can I give you a lift home?
That won't be necessary, Mr. Dundas. Our escorts are somewhere in the crowd. They'll drive us back.
I see. Just a suggestion, Miss Bond.
Yes?
I think it'd be wise for you to stay at Miss Courtney's home tonight.
I will. You see, we live together.
Oh?
Don't worry about me, Mr. Dundas. After tonight, I think I'll be all right.
Of course. Lydia's going to be just fine.
I guess you're right, Marable. Puzzles seem to pursue me, don't they? I go to a party for relaxation, and up bounces a prettier problems I've come across in years. A painting, a song, a woman who faints, and that poetry she quoted. Oh, am I boring you? I get it. That look in your eyes. L'amour. Time for a rendezvous. But it's 1:30 in the morning. Okay. Stop pawing your whiskers, you roué. I'll let you out. Come on. Up we go. Margie, I'm always thinking of you, Margie. Not a bad night. Peaceful, nice moon. Okay, pal, I guess.
Wait a minute. Those were gunshots. Come on.
It should be somewhere around here.
Oh.
So when I was telling you about Mehitable, Lydia Courtney, and she's dead.
But, Inspector, that's all I know. That's the whole story.
Can't be. Doesn't make sense, Mike. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Crazy, but true.
Oh.
Did your boys find anything that might help?
No. Say, what do you think Lydia Courtney was doing around here?
I think she was on her way to see me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when she spoke to me at the party, I had the feeling she wanted to talk to me about something that worried her.
Yeah?
Then she fainted, and when she came to, the time for opening up had passed. Sally Bond was around.
Anybody else?
No, their escort, Sally's brother Bill, and a fellow named Jay Stanton were among the crowd in the living room. I was introduced to them before I left.
I see. Well, we'll check them all, and we'll begin with Sally Bond. You don't seem very surprised to learn of your friend's death, Miss Bond.
Well, I've already heard about it, Inspector.
Oh, neither the radio nor the papers have broken the story.
My brother Bill here told me.
Oh, brother Bill told you.
Yes.
And how did you know, Brother Bill?
Well, I'm a special feature writer for the Clarion. I'm doing a series on crime, and I happened to be at a nearby precinct when the flash came in.
Uh-huh.
Naturally, I rushed over to tell Sally.
Naturally.
Mind if I ask a few questions, Inspector?
No, Mike. Go right ahead.
And Sally, what time did you and Lydia get home last night?
About 12.
I thought you were going to keep your eye on her.
Well, I was upset. I took a sleeping pill and gave one to Lydia. Apparently, she didn't take hers. She must have slipped out after I fell asleep.
I see. Do you know what was bothering her?
No. All I can tell you is that for the past 3 days, ever since Tuesday night, she was just a bundle of nerves.
What happened Tuesday night?
I don't know. Lydia went out at 8 o'clock. I heard her take her car out of the garage and drive off. When she got back, I couldn't say. I was asleep.
And on Wednesday morning, you noticed something wrong.
Yes, Lydia was very jumpy. I asked her where she'd been the night before. She wouldn't tell me.
Do you know who might have been with her?
No.
It wasn't Brother Bill, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Well, where were you that night?
Well, I was over at Jay Stanton's house. We were playing gin till about 1 o'clock. Then I went home.
Oh.
Sally, does anyone else live here with you?
Well, our handyman, Al Kemper, occupies the room over the garage.
Well, perhaps he can tell us when Lydia returned Tuesday night. Will you take us to him, please?
Yes, of course. Follow me.
Inspector.
Yeah?
You mind if I run along? I have to check in early at the office.
Okay, but just remember to stay within reach. You understand?
Yes.
All right, Sally, let's go.
Is this Lydia's car, Sally?
Yes, Mr. Dundas.
How about calling the handyman?
Certainly. Al! Oh, Al! He may still be asleep. Excuse me, I'll run up and get him.
Inspector.
Yeah?
Take a look at the bumper and the front fender. They've both been straightened. And the fender's been painted quite recently.
Inspector!
Yes?
Al Kemper is gone.
Lydia dead? Hard to believe, Bill. Sally know?
Yes, Jay.
Poor kid, the police will probably hound the life out of her.
Uh-huh. Her doing a good job of her when I left her.
Mm-hmm.
Jay.
Yes?
I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
Sure. What is it?
Well, it seems that something happened Tuesday night. I mean, Lydia was out with someone, and that person may be the leading suspect.
Well?
I told the police that I was playing gin with you till 1 o'clock.
What?
They asked me where I was. I couldn't tell them I was just cruising around in my car that night.
But
you've
Bill...
You've got to back me up, Jay. You've got to.
You're putting me on an awful spot, Bill.
I know, but I just said the first thing that popped into my head. Now I've got to stick to it.
I don't know.
Not only for me, Jay, for Sally.
Well...
You will?
Okay.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks a lot. I'll never forget this. Never.
Just one thing before you go, Bill.
What's that?
If I find out you're involved in Lydia's death, I'll hand you over to the police so fast it'll make your head spin.
Well, here we are, Inspector.
Yeah. Say, this is quite a house Stanton's got, Mike. Looks like it's all glass.
Practically. Rather an extreme functional design. Plenty of light and air.
A regular goldfish bowl.
Yes? Oh, hello, Dennis. Come in.
Thanks. Stanton, this is Inspector Prevost at the police.
How do you do?
How are you?
I've been rather expecting you.
Yeah? How's that?
Bill Bond called me a little while ago. He told me of Lydia's death.
Oh, he did, eh? I wonder if there's anyone he hasn't told.
Well, I was a very close friend of Lydia's, as well as her attorney. I guess he thought I should know.
Uh-huh.
Stanton, we've been told by Sally Bond that Lydia had been acting queerly lately. Do you know why?
No. We all commented on it, but she wouldn't tell anyone what was bothering her.
I see.
By the way, Stanton, where were you last Tuesday night?
Oh, right here. Bill dropped in early in the evening, and we talked, played cards. He left about, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton, did Lydia make a will?
Yes. Would you like to see it?
You mean you have it with you?
Well, not exactly. It's in my safe. You see, this is my office as well as my home.
Oh, well, you probably remember the contents of the will. Tell me, who benefits by Lydia's death?
Well, outside of certain small bequeaths, where the bulk of the estate goes to Sally Bond.
Hello?
Hello, Mike. Inspector Prevost.
Oh, what's the idea? I told you I wanted to catch a little shut-eye. I'm dead.
I know, but listen. Is Sally Bond there?
Huh? What is this, a gag?
Of course not. After I left you, I decided to talk to that girl again. Well, I went over to her house and she wasn't there.
Huh?
I thought maybe she'd gone to see you.
No. Inspector.
Yes?
There's a chance she went down to the bookstore she runs, and maybe...
Yes?
Better drive over here and pick me up. I want to go down there with you.
That's funny, Mike. The door to the store is open, and yet nobody's here. Listen, wait. What was that?
Quick, Inspector. The door behind the desk.
Right.
There, Inspector. On the floor near the table. Sally.
Oh, Mr. Dundas, Inspector.
Take it easy, kid.
Oh, my head.
What happened, Sally?
I came down to the store. I just... taken off my hat when I heard a noise in the stockroom.
Yes.
I opened the door. Someone standing behind it hit me over the head. That's all I can remember.
I see. Probably got in through the rear window. Sally, why did you come down here?
Well, on Wednesday, Lydia gave me a sealed envelope. She didn't tell me what was in it. All she said was that I should keep it for her down here.
Mm-hmm.
If anything happened to her, I was to open it and read what was inside. Then I was to decide what to do.
Where did you put it?
In the top middle drawer of my desk.
Inspector, will you see if it's there?
Right. Well?
It's gone, Mike.
Uh-huh. It would be. Sally, we've been informed that you are virtually the sole heir to Lydia's estate.
Oh?
You don't seem at all surprised.
No, I'm not. You see, several years ago, I happened to save Lydia's life in an automobile accident. Well, Lydia was very grateful. She wanted me to give up my job and come to live with her.
Mm-hmm.
I told her I hated being idle, so she loaned me some money and I bought this store. I suppose she thought she hadn't done enough for me, and that's why she left me everything.
Well, after all, you saved her life. One other thing.
Yes?
That burn on your wrist. You said some grease splattered on it. But it'd hardly have happened like that. It's in one solid area, not spotted.
You're right. On Wednesday morning at breakfast, Lydia was reading the newspaper. Just when I was handing her some coffee, she gave a start and jostled my hand. The coffee spilled on my wrist.
Huh? You say she was reading the paper?
Yes.
Is that paper still in the house?
Probably. We usually let them accumulate for a week before throwing them out.
Come on, Inspector. I think this is the break we've been waiting for.
Here they are, Mr. Dundas, the papers for the past week.
Thanks, Sally. Now, let's see. Here we are, Inspector. Wednesday.
Good.
Now to find the page with the darkest and biggest coffee stain. There it is. What could have startled her? United Nations in special session, dry goods convention, urgent. Oh, this must be the one. Girl missing.
Oh, what does it say, Mike?
Mrs. Thomas Kaysen of 624A, Flyshacker Avenue, reported to the Bureau of Missing Persons that her niece, Margie, 14, left home last night and is missing. The girl left her house at about 10:30 following a dispute with her aunt. A search has been instituted by the authorities. There's a picture, too, of Margie Kaysen.
Yeah, the missing Margie. But what do you think...
Oh, wait a minute, Inspector. I've just had a brainstorm.
Huh?
That ballad Lydia quoted, it just came to me. It goes... Many a one for him shall moan, but none shall know where he is gone. Over his white bones, when they are bare, the wind shall blow forevermore.
Well, does that mean anything to you, Mike?
You bet it does. It means that Margie's aunt is going to have two unexpected visitors. Come on, Inspector.
Why don't you two guys beat it? Go on, let me alone.
But, Mrs. Kaysen, we want to talk to you about your missing niece, Margie.
Margie? She ain't missing. Go on, get out of here.
I don't think she knows what she's talking about, Mike.
Maybe she does, and maybe... Wait a minute. Get a load of the stock of liquor on that table.
Yeah, scotch, rye, bourbon. That stuff must have cost a small fortune.
Uh-huh, and where did she get the money for it? This place makes Tobacco Road look like the Waldorf. Inspector.
Yeah?
Take a look at that purse she's holding. It's just bulging.
Yeah.
Mrs. Kaysen, may I look at your pocketbook?
No, I shall let you look at it.
Because I want to look inside.
Hey, give me that purse!
I thought so. It's stuffed with bills and big ones at that. Must be about $1,000 here.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Mrs. Kaysen, where'd you get it? Come on, talk.
Someone sent it to me.
Who?
I don't know. It came in the mail Thursday with a letter.
Have you still got the letter?
No, I tore it up and threw it away.
Do you remember what the letter said?
Yeah. It said I shouldn't worry about my niece. And if I didn't ask questions, I could keep the money.
Oh, so you were smeared with some dough and you called off the search, huh?
So what? The kid was nothing but a little tramp anyway.
Why, you dirty...
Easy, Inspector. Miss Kaysen... Where do you think Margie was going when she ran away?
Probably to her friend Betty's. It's where she always went when we had a fight.
I see. And she never reached her friend's house, did she?
No.
Where does Betty live?
Over 2142 Wawona Avenue, near the beach.
There's a vacant sand lot on that block. Inspector, we've got a job to do. A job of digging.
I got a lot of men here, Mike, but they haven't found anything so far.
Keep them at it, Inspector. I'm sure...
What's the matter? Bit of luck, I think. Look at that mongrel dog over at the corner.
Yeah. He's digging in the sand like mad.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Right. Boy, the mutt's run away, Mike.
That's okay. I got my eye on where he was digging. Here it is. You see the hole?
Uh-huh.
Okay, give me your shovel.
Right, here you are.
Thanks. Now pray.
Maybe it was only a bone the mutt was after.
Maybe.
Do you want me to take over, Mike?
No. Guess I can. Inspector, look.
Good Lord.
The poor kid. Under the sand. And over her white bones when they are bare, the wind shall blow forevermore. Did you get the coroner's report on Margie, Inspector?
Yeah, Mike, it was just as you figured. The kid was dead before she was buried.
Uh-huh. It's fairly easy now to reconstruct what happened.
It is? Not for me.
Well, the only conclusion which fits all the facts is that Lydia's car hit Margie and killed her. Terrified, Lydia and whoever was with her buried the body in the sand.
Well, why? After all, it certainly wasn't deliberate. It wasn't murder.
True. But a conviction on at least a reckless driving charge is fairly probable.
Okay, go on.
Well, Lydia couldn't stand what she'd done. That's why she gave that sealed envelope to Sally. Probably contained a full account of what happened.
Kind of a confession to lighten her guilt, huh?
Yes.
By the way, how did the killer know about it?
Probably through Lydia herself.
Lydia?
Yes. She must have tried to forestall her murder by threatening the killer with disclosure by means of the envelope.
But the killer was desperate and made sure Lydia would never talk.
Exactly.
Huh?
Just a minute.
Hello? Inspector Prevost speaking. What? He has, hey? Why, of course, certainly. Bring him down right away. Mike, a couple of the boys just picked up the handyman, Al Kemper.
They did?
Yeah, and get this. One of the men recognized him as an old con with a record as long as your arm. All right, Kemper, come on now. Stop stalling. Why did you run away?
Early this morning when Miss Barnes' brother came to see her, I was out in the yard near the kitchen.
Yeah?
The window was open, and I heard him tell his sister about Miss Courtney being dead. I figured me with my record, it wasn't healthy to stick around.
You're lying.
I'm not, I tell you.
You are.
Just a minute, Inspector. Kemper, where were you last Tuesday night?
Well, I was in a neighborhood bar until about 11:30, and then I beat it home and hit the hay.
Did you hear Miss Courtney come home?
Yeah. When she drove in, she woke me up.
Was there anyone with her?
Yeah.
Who was it?
I don't know. I heard Miss Courtney's voice, but whoever was with her was whispering.
Did you hear what they said?
Well, not much of it. Miss Courtney was scared. She kept saying something was all wrong. The other person kept telling her she had to keep her mouth shut about it.
Anything else?
Oh, wait. There was just one other thing.
Yes?
The other person said something kind of funny. Let me see. Yeah. I could never stand it, never. I'd go insane in a month. That's just what was said.
Not very much to go on, is there, Mike?
On the contrary, Inspector. I think it's the key to the whole case.
The key?
Yes. Get Sally, Stanton, and Bill down here right away.
What for?
I'm going to trap the murderer.
Why did you call us down here?
Okay, quiet, please, quiet. All right, Mike.
Thanks, Inspector. I called you all down here because there's been a new development in the case, and I'll need your help. Now, will you follow me, please?
Oh,
where are we going?
Upstairs, Brother Bill. Hurry up. Come on. Get in the elevator.
Okay.
It's a tight squeeze, but I think we can make it. There we are. All right, Inspector. Close the door and take us up.
Right.
You all right, Sally?
Yes, Jay.
Well, what's the matter, Inspector?
I don't know, Mike. Funny. We seem to be stuck.
That's a fine. How do you do? Between floors, too.
Keep your shirt on, Brother Bill. That's funny. It won't start.
Now, don't worry, folks. We'll probably get going in a minute.
I'd like to get out.
Yeah, how about it?
I said I'd like to get out, please. I can't stay in here. I can't. Please. You don't understand. You don't understand!
I'm afraid I do, Stanton. You murdered Lydia, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. I killed her.
All right, Inspector. You can take us down now. You missed me, didn't you, Mahitable?
Mike, will you put that darn cat down?
Relax, Inspector, relax.
Relax, he says. Don't you think it's time that you answered a few questions?
Okay. Excuse me, Mahitable. What do you want to know, Inspector?
How did you figure out Jay Stanton's claustrophobia? His fear of being hemmed in?
Well, first of all, when we visited Stanton, his house seemed strange. It was almost all glass. You yourself called it a goldfish bowl.
Yeah, that's right, so I did.
Then he had his office in his home, not in a building where he'd have to take an elevator every day.
Uh-huh.
Of course, at the time we saw him, it didn't mean too much. It was just odd.
Yeah, but when were you sure?
When Kemper told us what he'd overheard. As you recall, the person with Lydia said, "I could never stand it. Never. I'd go insane in a month."
Yes, but how could you know what he referred to?
Well, obviously, Lydia and Stanton were talking of what they had done to Margie. The only way Stanton could terrify her into silence was by pointing out a probable jail sentence if they were caught.
Uh-huh.
Thus, what Stanton said could only refer to what jail would mean to him. He would go insane because of his claustrophobia.
I see. And when you tied that up to his glass house, having his office there, you had him all wrapped up.
Yes. Oh, what's the matter, Mahitable? Rubbing your whiskers again, huh? You Casanova. Yep, I'll let you out.
Mike, will you stop bothering with that cat?
Sorry, Inspector. There are some things which are much more important than crime.
And so closes tonight's Crime Club book, Epitaph for Lydia, based on a story by Virginia Rath. James Erthine did the radio adaptation. Roger Bauer produced and directed. Sidney Smith played Mike. Jack McBride was the inspector. Julie Stevens was Sally. Ted Osborne was heard as Jay. Mason Adams was Bill. Bryna Rayburn was Lydia. And Brad Barker was Mehitabel, the... I beg your pardon. Hello. I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Yes, come over a week from tonight. Good. We have the exciting story of a crown that rested easily on the head of death. It's called The Corpse Wore a Wig by George Bagby. In the meantime, there is a new Crime Club book available this week and every week at bookstores everywhere. Yes, it's available now. Fine. And we'll look for you next week.
This program came from New York. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Murder on Margin? Yes, we have that Crime Club story for you. Come right over. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable? The book is on this shelf. Here it is, Murder on Margin by Robert George Dean. The very intriguing story of the stocks of passion and the bonds of death. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. It is late evening in a room of a shabby hotel in Midtown Manhattan. A trim, slick-haired man is eyeing the blonde girl sitting near him on the sofa. He watches her carefully as she pours herself a drink.
You're hitting the bottle tonight, ain't you, Joan? That's the fourth one you've had.
So what?
Nothing. Only when you start guzzling like that, it's a sin something's eaten.
I told you I was tired.
Okay, baby, okay. Give me.
Oh, please, Nick, don't.
Yeah, you are tired, ain't you?
Well, what do you expect? You know better than anyone else what a day I put in.
You've had tougher days.
Maybe I have. Maybe I'm just getting sick of being a manicurist.
Well, I can't blame you for that. I'm not crazy about being a barber, either. Joan.
What?
Maybe you'll be able to quit your job, too.
How?
You know Larry Carson, don't you?
Who?
Larry Carson, the stockbroker. You know, the guy in the brokerage house a couple of doors from us, huh?
Oh, yeah, I think I've done his nail.
Sure, sure you have, lots of times.
Well?
He's a smart trader. Knows the market inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's been giving some tips to Tony, who cuts his hair. And Tony's made himself quite a bundle.
So what?
So I've been talking to Tony. He's going to pass them tips on to me.
Oh.
I'm going to start right away. Just as soon as Carson gets back.
Gets back?
Yeah. He told Tony today he was leaving town on a business trip. But he won't be gone long. What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I think it's a swell idea, Nick.
You bet it is. Pretty soon I'll have some real dough, and then... come here, baby.
Don't, Nick.
Just a little kiss, honey.
Don't.
Hey, you act like I'm poison or something. I said, come here.
And I said, let go of my wrist. Let go.
Hey, you got a bracelet on under your sleeve.
You're crazy.
Am I? Come on, let me see it.
No.
Let me see it.
My arm.
Just a minute, sweetheart. Okay.
Give me back that bracelet.
Shut up. Diamonds, huh? Are you dirty two-timing liar? Who's the guy? I asked you, who's the guy?
Larry Carson gave it to me.
Carson?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, Nick. I swear, I've been playing him for a sucker, that's all.
Playing him for a sucker?
Yeah, just getting all I could out of him for the two of us. No, Nick, don't!
For the two of us, huh? Come on, get up. Get up, I said. Joan.
Oh.
Are you all right?
Get up. Get out!
Okay. I'm going. So long, son.
Yes, Ruth?
It's rather late.
I'm quite aware of that.
Well, you mentioned that you wanted to turn in early.
Still the dutiful wife, eh? Well, I have some market reports I want to study.
Oh.
Answer that, will you?
Hello? Oh, yes. Just a minute. For you, Larry.
For me?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, Larry. This is Joan Randall.
I thought I told you never to call this number.
I know what you told me, but I had to talk to you. Tried the other place and couldn't get you.
I see. All right, what do you want?
I heard you were taking a little trip tomorrow.
Yes?
I thought we had a date.
Sorry, I meant to call you about that before I left.
Oh, you meant to, huh?
Yes, it came up suddenly. It's just a routine business trip. I'll be back in a few days.
I don't like it.
Oh, don't be silly.
I'm not. I've had the feeling for some time now that you wanted to brush me off.
What?
I want to warn you, Larry. Don't do it.
I shall do whatever I please.
Yeah? Well, get this through your head, Mr. Carson. You'll pay off or else. Hello? Did you hear me? I said you'll...
This one didn't lie either, didn't she?
She'll learn.
It's convenient to have a wife, isn't it, Larry? It must sound convincing when you tell them I won't give you a divorce.
Yes, I guess it does.
Larry, when are you going to set me free?
Soon.
You've been saying that for months now. Carl and I want to be married, and I want a clean start. That's why I haven't begun any action myself.
Yes?
We don't want to wait any longer. I want a divorce now.
Very moving appeal, my dear. But I confess I don't understand it. You and Carl Hamill? Why, he's strictly a lightweight.
Is he? Then why did you ask him to be a partner in your firm?
Well, it's quite simple, Ruth. I needed some money. No, I'm sorry I took him in.
So is Carl.
I don't doubt it.
Larry?
Hmm?
I heard you mention something about a business that...
Well?
If you were to stay away a long time, it would delay my divorce.
That's quite an idea.
Yes. I've got another idea, too, Larry.
Oh? What is it?
I'm afraid I'd better keep this one to myself.
Oh, Mr. Hamill.
Oh, good morning, sir. Can I help you?
Well, yes, at least I hope so. I'd like to see Mr. Carson.
Well, Mr. Carson is a very busy man.
Oh, I know, Mr. Hamill. I've been waiting here outside his office since 9:45, and now it's 9:40.
I see. Well, I was just going in to see Mr. Carson myself. I'll tell him that you're here.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, by the way, what's your name?
Pat Barton.
Pat Barton? The private detective?
Why, yes. I want to consult him about some stocks.
Oh. I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. Do you mind if I glance at the ticker?
No.
Thanks. Let's see. Commercial Solutions, 31.5. Say, that looks like a pretty good stock, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Might go up to 32.
Yes, Larry, I will. Oh, was that last order 29.25? Right. Oh, Mr. Barton.
Yes, Mr. Hamill.
I told Mr. Carson you were waiting. He'll see you in 15 minutes.
Oh, thank you. Meanwhile, I'll just keep my eye on the ticker.
Fine. See you later.
Right. Let's see. Salt preferred, 20.25. Elias.
All right, Mr. Barton. I think we can go in now.
Okay, Mr. Hamill.
Oh, Larry, this is... Well, that's funny. He isn't here.
You're wrong, Mr. Hamill. Look, on the floor near the desk.
Good Lord.
Someone put a rope around his neck and pulled it tight. Very tight.
I swear I don't know how you do it, Pat, but every time there's a murder, you're right in the middle of it.
Well, I'm sorry, Lieutenant Riley. It just happens. I don't arrange them.
No, Well, the way you solve them sometimes makes me wonder. Okay, forget it. Let's take another look at the late Mr. Carson.
Okay.
Let's see. After he was strangled, he must have slipped to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But that would hardly account for his mussed-up appearance, though.
What do you mean?
Well, his shirt is half out, and his belt is twisted. Do you think that maybe he was just a sloppy dresser?
No, Lieutenant. You can see his suit was obviously just pressed. And look at the shine on his shoes.
Uh-huh.
I think the killer must have searched him.
For what? His wallet was still on him and nothing was missing from it.
Yes, but there wasn't much money in it. Did the medical examiner give you the time of death?
Yeah, probably between 10:15 and 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that tells you who the murderer is, sir.
Not quite, Lieutenant, but it helps.
Yeah, a lot. What gets me is how the killer got in and out. Now, there's Carson's private entrance leading to the hallway into the street, and that's locked.
Uh-huh.
And now, this door here to the main office, through which you entered. Now, you say that you were sitting right next to it from a quarter to ten on?
Yes, and the only one who entered was Carl Hamill.
I think I'll have a little talk with that guy. Mr. Hamill?
Yes, Lieutenant?
Would you mind stepping in here?
Not at all.
Mr. Hamill, according to Mr. Barton here, you were the only one to enter this office.
Yes?
And that was about 20 after 10, a time when Carson might have been killed.
What do you mean? You know that he was alive when I left the office.
Do we?
Well, of course, Mr. Barton. Well, you were sitting right at the door when I came out. You heard me turn around and ask him about that last quotation.
Yes, I heard you, but I didn't hear him.
Huh? Oh, that's right. I remember now. He didn't answer me. He just nodded.
Oh, I see.
Mr. Hamill, excluding Mr. Carson, who had a key to the private entrance of this office?
Well, I believe Mrs. Carson had one.
Oh, she did,
eh? Yes, but surely you don't think that she had anything to do with this. Why, she couldn't...
Take it easy, Mr. Hamill.
Pat? Yes, Lieutenant?
One of my men reported that in the hallway leading from Carson's private entrance to the street is a door of a private club.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, there's a doorman posted at that door from 9 o'clock on. He'll be able to tell us just who entered this office by way of that private entrance.
Oh, good. Well, I get...
Yeah, what's that? What is that?
Supply closet, Lieutenant.
Let me out.
Oh, there she is, behind the filing cabinet.
Oh. Hey, give me a hand, will you? I can't seem to get out of here by myself.
All right. We'll just get this cabinet out of the way. There we are. Okay, come on out.
Yeah, sure.
Why, Miss Randall.
You know this girl, Mr. Hamill?
Why, yeah, she's the manicurist at a barber shop a few doors down the street.
Oh, okay, Miss Randall, talk.
Huh?
She seems to be pretty drunk, Lieutenant.
Yeah. What were you doing in that closet, sister?
Who was to know?
I'm Lieutenant Riley of the police.
Police?
Yes. Take a look at the floor near the desk.
Oh, Barry's dead, huh?
Uh-huh. You ought to know.
Me? I didn't do it.
No? How'd you get in here?
I had a key. Larry gave it to me.
Oh.
The louse was going to run out on me. I wanted to have a little talk with him.
Uh-huh.
I got here early, before 9. Didn't want anybody to spot me coming in. I hid behind the cabinet in the closet.
How come you're so boiled?
Well, I knew it would be a long wait, so I took a flask along. I was nervous. Before I knew it, the flask was empty. And then I passed out.
Uh-huh. Miss Randall, there's a keyhole in that closet door. Did you see or hear anything that might help us?
No, not a thing.
I see. Okay, sister. I'm going to send you home to sober up. But don't get any idea that you're out of this mess. I'm going to check on you all the way. Pat?
Yes, Lieutenant?
Get your hat. We'll start checking with the barber shop where she works. Were you Carson's barber, Nick?
No, Lieutenant. Tony took care of him.
Oh, well, where is this Tony?
Well, it's been raining all morning. We were slow, and Tony and the others ducked out. They're probably chewing the fat in a cafeteria down the street.
Uh-huh. You got a manicurist named Joan Randall?
Yeah, she didn't show up this morning.
I don't think she'll be in today, Nick.
Huh? What do you mean, Mr. Barton?
Why are you so nervous?
Well, Joan and me, we've been kind of going around together, and if anything's happened to her...
Well, nothing's happened to her yet.
But she's in quite a spot.
You see, we found her in Mr. Carson's closet.
Yeah?
She was pickled, Nick. Now, was that a habit of hers?
Well, when she's worried, she likes a couple of shots.
Uh-huh.
Nick, it seems that Joan and Mr. Carson were quite friendly. Did you know that?
Yeah, it didn't mean anything. He had a lot of dough and... Well, you know how it is.
Yes, we know.
You don't think she killed Carson, do you?
We're not sure, Nick. But if you ask me, you're going to need a new manicurist.
For me, Lieutenant, it is unbelievable. I simply refuse to believe it.
I know, Sergeant, I know. But Carson's dead. You got to help us.
Me help you? How?
What time were you at your post this morning?
What time? Why, 9 o'clock. In all my 23 years as doorman to this club, I arrive at 9 sharp. Not before, not later.
Uh-huh. And from your post, you can see anyone who enters the hallway to go to Mr. Carson's office.
Absolutely.
Sasha, do you know Joan Randall, the manicurist from the barbershop around the corner?
You mean the blonde barish? Sure, I know her.
Did you see her enter the hallway this morning?
No.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
She must have got here before 9, like she said.
Did you see anyone else, Sasha?
Yes, just one person.
Who was it?
It was Mrs. Carson.
Mrs. Carson, eh? What time was that?
About 9:45. No, 9:40.
And she went down the hallway to Mr. Carson's office?
Yes.
Did you see her go in?
No. The hallway turns to the left. You can't see the door.
He's right, Lieutenant.
Okay. Now, I want you to be very careful about this next one, Sasha. When did she come out?
I don't know.
Huh?
You see, a little while after she came in, I had to call a cab for a member.
Yeah?
I was outside for a couple of minutes.
In other words, she could have slipped out during that time.
Correct.
Oh.
Sasha, would it have been possible for anyone else to have entered while you were outside?
No, this could not happen. When I went out, I looked up and down the street. There was nobody near enough to sleep in.
Oh, I see. Well, Lieutenant, what's next on the menu?
The Blue Plate Special, Mrs. Carson. Mrs. Carson, do you have any idea who might have murdered your husband?
No, Lieutenant.
I have.
Yes?
You, Mrs. Carson.
Me?
Yes.
Why, that's absurd. Utterly absurd.
For your information, you were seen going down the hallway to your husband's office.
What?
Oh, come, Mrs. Carson. The identification was positive. You were there, weren't you?
Yes, but I didn't see Larry.
Huh?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I went up to the door of the office, and then I stopped.
Why?
The transom was open. I heard Carl, Mr. Hamill, talking to Larry. I lost my nerve and left.
What do you mean you lost your nerve?
Well, I guess I'd better tell you the whole story.
Yeah, I guess you'd better.
I'd wanted a divorce from Larry for some time. Without going into it, I can assure you I had very good reasons.
Yes, we met one of them.
Hmm?
Never mind, Mrs. Carson. Go on, please.
Well, I met Carl Hamill, my husband's partner. We fell in love. I told Larry about it and asked him for a divorce so that Carl and I could be married.
Mm-hmm.
Larry kept putting me off. Then last night I learned that he was taking a trip out of town. He said he'd be gone for only a short time.
Yes?
I had the feeling that he was up to something. You see, he was very spiteful. I felt that he was going to stay away to delay my divorce. I made up my mind that he wasn't going to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I set out for his office for a showdown. I took a gun along.
A gun, huh?
Yes, but when I stood outside Larry's door and heard Carl's voice, I realized how foolish I'd been. I knew that I could never kill Larry.
Uh-huh.
I turned around and went home.
Mrs. Carson, did you hear what Mr. Hamill and your husband were talking about?
Yes. They were discussing some stock quotations.
Did Hamill mention the quotation on murder?
What do you mean? You don't think that Carl... Oh, no. He didn't kill Larry.
Of course not. He didn't. You didn't. Nobody did. Only the guy's dead and the commissioner wants to know why.
Hello?
Hello, Ruth.
Oh, Carl. I was hoping that you'd all...
You heard about Larry?
Yes. The police have just left.
Oh.
Carl, I'm afraid we're in trouble.
What's the matter?
I did something terribly foolish. I went to Larry's office this morning.
What? But why did you...
Wait, I didn't see him. When I got to the door, I heard you talking to him.
Oh.
I heard you quarreling.
Did you tell the police about it?
No. No, I told them you were discussing stock quotations. Carl, is there anything you want to tell me?
Ruth, you don't think I killed him, do you?
No.
But, darling, you sound as if...
I love you, Carl. No matter what happened, remember that. I love you.
Good evening, Lieutenant. I made it as fast as I could. What's up?
I've got some more pieces for our puzzle.
You have?
Yes. Do you remember when we examined the corpse, you thought the killer had searched him?
Yes.
Yeah, you were right. And whoever it was made off with $100,000.
What?
I had a man go over the books at Carson. There was $100,000 missing from the credit balance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it looks like Carson was going to take it on the lam, you see? And he figured on traveling light to throw everyone off guard.
Yes, probably just an overnight bag and the money. From the appearance of his disarranged clothing, I'd say he had the cash in a money belt.
Uh-huh.
Did you speak to Hamill about this?
Yes. Yes, and he was quite upset. Not only over the loss of the dough, he said. He was worried about the effect on the firm's business.
Mm. Now, is there any way to trace that money?
No, and I haven't got the ghost of an idea. Who could have... Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Joan Renz. I've had the feeling that dame was holding something back.
You think she took it?
Either that or she knows who did. Come on, Pat. Let's get to her before she puts away another quart.
Maybe she's out, Lieutenant.
Yeah, Pat, but not the way you mean. She's probably hit that bottle again. Oh, there's no use. The door's locked.
I have a key, Lieutenant.
Huh?
A key that opens a lot of doors.
Oh, well, go ahead. Make believe I'm not looking.
Okay.
There we are. Now, let's see. The light switch ought to be... Yeah, here. Well, I don't smell any liquor, so maybe... Holy smoke. She really is out. Look, for good.
Yes. Whoever stabbed her wasn't kidding. She must have been lying on the bed. Isn't that odd?
What is?
Well, apparently, after she was stabbed, she still had enough strength to reach down and clutch one of her shoes from under the bed.
Yeah, she probably rolled over and held on to whatever came into her hand.
No, Lieutenant. Shoes are usually placed together on the floor. And from the position of the one still there, you'd have to strain to get the shoe she's holding.
Yes. Well, why do you think she grabbed it, Pat?
I think it was an attempt to tell us who murdered her.
Oh. Well, it's a woman's shoe. And the only other woman in the case is Mrs. Carson.
Mm.
Or maybe... Yeah. Yeah. While I was talking to Hamill about that money, he told me he used to be a shoe manufacturer.
What?
Yeah. Well, I guess that does it.
I'm not sure.
Huh?
There's something that keeps buzzing at the back of my mind. Something that... I, of course, Larry Carson's shoes.
Larry Carson's shoes?
Yes. Now, there's just one thing we ought to check, Lieutenant. And then I think you'll be able to wrap this case up. Better keep back out of sight, Lieutenant.
Okay, Pat. I just wanted to make sure that Sasha is still sitting on that park bench.
Oh, don't worry. I've got my eye on him every second.
Are you certain your plan will work?
I don't see how it can miss. A half hour ago, Sasha telephoned the killer. His message will force the murderer to meet Sasha here in the park.
I see. Then you expect another knifing job, huh?
Right. And we'll have to be on our toes to prevent it. Wait, Lieutenant. I think we're getting a bite.
Beginning to think you aren't coming. I thought maybe... Help!
Get him, Lieutenant! Get him! Stop her and shoot! Good shot, Lieutenant! Are you all right, Sasha?
Yes, Mr. Bart.
Good. Is he alive, Lieutenant?
Yeah, the bullet just creased his scalp.
Oh.
Okay, Nick, come on, come on. Up on your feet. As a barber, you usually stand behind a chair. Well, now, we're going to let you sit in one.
Did Nick reveal where he hid the money, Lieutenant?
Yes, it was under the floor in his room.
Oh, good. Mm. It's nice of you to give me a lift home, Lieutenant.
Ah, that's all right, Pat. You deserve it. And Sasha, too.
Ah, it was nothing. Nothing at all. Only don't ever ask me to do it again.
Don't worry, we won't. Say, Pat, how did you tumble to Nick anyway?
Well, there was the fact of the shoes, Carson's and Jones.
Uh-huh.
Carson's shoes were shined. And that was peculiar.
Why?
Well, since it rained all morning, his shoes should have been spotted.
Yeah, that's right.
But I failed to see the importance of that fact until Joan was killed. She died in the act of reaching for her shoe.
Uh-huh.
And then it hit me. Someone had shined Carson's shoes. Obviously, he wouldn't have done it himself. So, the only other possibility was a shoe-shine man.
Yeah, but where in the world...
Well, since there was no shoe-shine man involved in this case, I turned to the only person who could have impersonated one.
Nick the barber.
Exactly. He was alone in his shop. Not only the barbers were gone, but also the shoe-shine man.
I see. So Nick dressed up in the dark apron, carried the box, and got by.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Wait a minute. How did he get into the Carson's office without Sasha seeing him?
But you know, Lieutenant, there are some men who are invisible.
Invisible?
Yes. That is, they're taken for granted. Nobody observes them. Like a mailman, for instance.
Oh.
Well, a shoeshine man visiting the offices in a business building is exactly the same. You pay no attention to him, so he loses his identity.
I see.
Of course, when I brought the point up with Sasha, he remembered.
Well, что такое? Я не знаю, что это.
What did you say, Sasha?
Never again. For the rest of my life will I get a shoeshine.
And so closes tonight's Crime Club book, Murder on Margin, based on a story by Robert George Dean. James Erthine did the radio adaptation, Roger Bauer produced, and Jock McGregor directed. Jack McBride played Lieutenant Riley, Julie Stevens was Joan, Helen Shields was Ruth Carson, Danny Occo played Sasha, Ray Thompson was Pat, Joe DeSantis was Nick, and Sherling Oliver was heard as Carl Hamill. Oh, I beg your pardon. Hello? I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Yes, come over a week from tonight. Good. We have the very exciting story of a package that was wrapped up by death. It's called Murder Makes a Mummy. In the meantime, there is a new Crime Club book available this week and every week at bookstores everywhere. Yes, it's available now. Fine. And we'll look for you next week.
This program came from New York. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To check out our other storytelling podcasts like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, go to crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up,
brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.